Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we move along to the next verse or two in our study of the third epistle of John. Coming today to verses 9 and 10, and perhaps they turn out to be the most well-known verses in this short epistle. We are coming very rapidly to the end. We're more than halfway through. This epistle is only 14 verses long, and we are ready to enter verse 9 on the broadcast today. And we're going to be dealing with the church boss. How to deal with church members who exercise unauthorized and overbearing authority in the church. Diotrephes, the church boss, he's well known. We read in verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and, not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Wow, what a character! But he is, unfortunately, more common than we would like to believe. And so we'll look into this in just a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, July 26. And thank you for being mindful that we depend upon the financial gifts of our radio listeners in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Diotrephes, the church boss. Nearly everybody's heard of him. He is, as I say, probably the best known figure in this third epistle of John. Unfortunately, he's not unique. There are many like him in our day. In fact, probably everybody listening to the broadcast has known someone like this at one time or another. And that's exactly why we need to look carefully at these two verses in this epistle. This epistle, you recall, that was written by the Apostle John to a man named Gaius, an exemplary man, a godly man, whom John commends for supporting traveling missionaries, but now he turns his attention to Diotrephes, who in many ways is the exact opposite of Gaius. Gaius was a man of godly humility. Diotrephes was a man of sinful pride. Gaius was a man who was a great encouragement to other Christians. Diotrephes was a man who was a discouragement to the brethren. Gaius was a man in submission. Diotrephes was a man in defiance. Gaius was a man who received and deserves John's commendation. Diotrephes is a man who deserved and received John's strong rebuke. The church boss. Well, what do we got? We start out with an apostolic letter. John says in verse 9, I wrote to the church. Who wrote? The Apostle John wrote. What did he write? A letter, of course, obviously. I wrote to the church. Now, the question is, what letter is he talking about? Some think that that's a reference to the second epistle of John. John is referring back to a previous epistle that was written prior to the writing of the third one, but I must say that in my own study of these epistles, I find that difficult because I find it difficult to fit 2 John into the context of 3 John. And so most have come to the conclusion that John is referring here to what we call an unknown epistle or a lost epistle, which is only lost to us, of course, because we don't know what it is. When John says, I wrote to the church, it is an epistle that John wrote to the church that perhaps this man Diotrephes himself received and suppressed and maybe even destroyed. But of course, he couldn't do that if God intended to include it in Scripture, which he obviously did not. There are references to a number of epistles throughout the New Testament that are not included in the New Testament canon. And so we cannot be surprised, we cannot be shocked, we cannot be dismayed that this particular epistle was not intended for survival and for our examination today. Not all apostolic writing has been preserved. For example, a careful study of the Corinthian epistles, the longest epistles, really, 1 and 2 Corinthians, but a careful study of those two epistles would lead most to the conclusion that there were actually 4 Corinthian epistles, because other epistles that Paul makes reference to in the ones that we have, that we call 1 and 2, make it clear that there was a first before our first, and there was a second or third before our second. In other words, there were other epistles written by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church which have not survived. That's not something that happened by accident or unfortunate situation. Please keep in mind that this is all by the design of God. The ones that God wanted us to have, we have. Any that we don't have, because they did not survive because God intended that they not survive. We have exactly what God intended for us to have. So what letter is this when John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us? Well, we really don't know what epistle that is. But another question, maybe a little more important one to us, is what church? I wrote to the church. What church? Obviously, a local church. This is clearly in reference to a local church of which Diotrephes was a member. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. I wrote to the church of Diotrephes, clearly. But the question is this also the church of Gaius? And that's not quite so clear, but it very well may be. But if so, Gaius was really dealing with a difficult situation, and that becomes all the more reason to commend him for his exemplary hospitality and support and encouragement of traveling gospel preachers, because Diotrephes was doing the exact opposite. He was doing everything possible to keep people from supporting traveling preachers, and even threatening to excommunicate those who did. Which makes us think it may not be the same church of Gaius, because there is no evidence of that kind of conflict going on between Gaius and Diotrephes. But again, these are questions that we cannot answer definitively. So, what was the church? We do not know. The church of Diotrephes, to be sure. The church of Gaius, maybe, maybe not. If it was the church of Gaius, then the question is, what was Gaius' role in the church? What was his relationship to Diotrephes and to this church? And if not, if it was not the church of which Gaius was a part, then why does John write to him? This epistle, of course, is directed to him. It begins by saying, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." So why did John write to him about a problem with Diotrephes if they were not in the same church? And, of course, one possible answer to that question is to explain his current appeal for hospitality. In other words, why it was important, why it was necessary, because Diotrephes, being the man he was, and wielding the influence he wielded in the church, and exercising the opposition to the ministry of John and to the preachers that were sent out from Ephesus, it was all the more important that somebody in that vicinity, in that geographical area, be prepared to receive them. Diotrephes clearly was not. And so this might explain why the epistle is directed to Gaius and why he is urged to receive these messengers. Well, I can only guess on this question as to what church is referred to here. In other words, is it the same church of which Gaius was a part? It is obviously the church of Diotrephes that is referred to here, but is that the same church that Gaius was a part of? And my guess is that it was not, that they are different churches, but probably closely related churches, probably in fairly close proximity one to another, in adjoining towns that were not that far apart, is what I would guess, and that's only a guess. But if that's the case, then we can understand why John might write to Gaius with this information, because Gaius probably already was well aware of this. He was aware of Diotrephes. He was aware of the situation in this sister church with whom his church has in the past enjoyed a very good relationship, but I'm sure at this point the relationship is exceedingly strained because of what is going on with this man, Diotrephes. But then there's also the question as to what message. We're asking some questions now. John said, "I wrote to the church." That's the opening words of verse 9. "I wrote to the church." And the questions we're answering are, who wrote? The answer is clearly the Apostle John. What letter did he write? And that is not as clear, but it probably is a reference to an unknown letter that is lost to us. To what church did he write? Obviously to the church of which Diotrephes was a member. But was it also the church of which Gaius was a member? And my conclusion, and it's only an opinion, is that it probably was a different church. And what is the message that John wrote? "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes." He goes on here. Well, let's read it. "Therefore, if I come," John says, "I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." So what did John write in the letter that probably Gaius intercepted and suppressed? Well, evidently he wrote to commend traveling preachers to this church, just like he did writing to Gaius, requesting favorable reception and support, but that request was unacceptable to Diotrephes. That's the whole problem. John wrote to the church, said, "We're sending missionaries, we're sending traveling preachers your way. We need for you to provide hospitality and help to them as they travel on." And Diotrephes said, "No, we're not going to help." And he forbade anybody in the church to help them. This is a difficult situation. That's what John is dealing with. We'll have to take it up on the broadcast Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.